Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Ann Ortley calling in from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side, and I'm calling in to give you the weekly weather report for the week of April 13th, 2009 through April 19th, 2009. This is an audio version of the weather that appears on my website, annortley.com or astroann.com. We start the week off with a quote. When I dare to be powerful, to use my strength in the service of my vision, then it becomes less and less important whether I am afraid, by Audre Lorde. If you remember, we're in the middle of the reveals, part of the Venus retrograde. As the reveals come to light, you have that aha moment. After the aha moment, you actually know what you want to do. The doing, of course, will take a bit of time and will be done down the road a piece. This week, you figure it out. The blunders and the scales will fall from your eyes. We're working with the imagery of Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Over the past couple of weeks, we've had our own lightning bolt arrive in our life. We might have been unable to see what it meant exactly. We got used to being blinded. We've been working on what we want to do about it, or if we want to do anything. We may decide to just send a snarky email or a text message and be done with them. Finally, this week, the scales will fall from our eyes. We'll be able to see again. We'll pick up with the final part of our story. For those who don't know Saul's conversion story, he was a Pharisee or a learned leader who violently persecuted the followers of Jesus. Earlier, a bright light came out of the heavens, a couple weeks ago, and knocked Saul off his horse. A voice yelled at him and told him to stop persecuting it. He was blinded and didn't eat or drink for 3 days. What voice yelled at you and told you to stop persecuting them? Were you blinded? Did you stop eating or drinking for 3 days? Has some guy or gal or friend come by, laid hands on you, and thus the scales fell from your eyes? Can you see again? Did you get baptized, get a new name, and regain your strength? Or perhaps were you the lightning bolt for someone else? Did you knock someone off their high horse? Did you persecute someone, blind them? Have you made someone stop eating and drinking for 3 days? The whole purpose is to see the duality of the situation. Venus retrograde, you have to see the other side of the story. It's time to see where you might have been righteous or self-important or persecuting or persecuted. Saul on his high horse or a lightning bolt of information. Both are important part of the stories. From the Acts of the Apostles, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. "Ananias?" "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus, recently named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and placing his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings. Before the people of Israel, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." So then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell away from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up, he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. It's from the Acts of the Apostles, verses 9, 3 through 19. Okay, so now that we've had our little Bible reading, now it's time for the fun part. We have a new chapter, new character in the story. You might have been Saul, or you might have been the lightning bolt. Now you're Ananias. You've heard about this Saul guy. You have an opinion on the matter, and are none too pleased about your role in the story. The Saul guy hurt your fellow saints, your friends. And the Saul guy still might be a bad guy, or be here with evil intent. What to do? Perhaps you can help the scales fall from his eyes. Or you can have the scales fall from your eyes and see him for who he really is. A scared blind guy who used to pick on people because he was a big bully. Or you can recruit a very direct and clear convert who believes you get the message across, who helps you get the message across to the unbelievers. Or, as is often the case, in different stories you actually are playing different roles. You're Saul in one person's life, you're the lightning bolt in another's, and you're Ananias or the scales that fall away in a third. Stay clear, focus, and see your roles. Now B, who's one of my favorite readers, and who writes me these wonderfully interesting thoughts on my columns, wrote this week in response to the quote that I used at the beginning of last week's column. And I thought it was a really amazing letter, so I've quoted part of it below. Now the quote that B reacted to was, "I am tremendously optimistic. I feel strongly that there is so much doubt, fear, frustration, anger, depression, and greed in the world that we no longer need to feel those emotions anymore. There are enough people feeling those emotions. We need volunteers who are ready and willing to feel good all the time and to be optimistic, to laugh, to have fun, to be in love with everything, to appreciate beauty. We need more of those kinds of people." And the quote was by a man named David Wolf. So, B wrote, "I will just say that my ideas and attitudes about purity of body, mind, and emotion were very rigid and dogmatic and arrogant. I totally believe the basic idea in David's quote, and I now see it as being very much in denial of parts of our humanity. I remember arguing with a dear friend who's lived through more trauma most people can't imagine, who I almost pushed completely away through my unwillingness to allow negative emotions into my life. I believe that it was my desire to feel only good feelings and thinking that other feelings were wrong or bad that has been a huge source of pain and suffering to myself and my loved ones. I actually believe that the idea he put forth in that quote is based on fear. I have an idea that the doubt, fear, frustration, anger, depression, and greed that we see looking so out of proportion in the world has a lot to do with our mass desire to feel nothing but, quote-unquote, good emotions. When we are unwilling to sit with and own our own, quote-unquote, negative emotions and accept that they are also there to teach and inform or even just to be fully felt, I think we do the whole world a disservice. When we see ourselves as different and better than others who are having pain and suffering in their lives, we are creating more of it for others to deal with. Much of the pain and suffering in the world, from what I can tell, is from the perceived separateness. I have seen in my own life, through much death, destruction, and denial, that most of the seemingly overwhelming issues and obstacles to healing and fulfillment have come from unwillingness to own and feel certain emotions, and that when I or others have allowed ourselves to do just that, the mountain of obstacles often melts away, or at least seems approachable. I don't know David Wolf personally, but I have and do know many, many people who, if not like him, at least follow the same doctrines and belief systems that he promotes, as I once did. And it is my opinion that many, if not all, are on an ego trip, to one degree or another, of needing to see themselves as different and better than the world around them, and many of them are ultimately abusive to themselves and others for lack of being able to accept their own humanity and mortality, as I was and still struggle with." One of my favorite quotes by Carl Jung, "There are many that apply," is, "Even a happy life cannot be without a measure of darkness, and the word happy would lose its meaning if it were not balanced by sadness. It is far better to take things as they come, with patience and equanimity." Even as I write this, I'm having to be aware that I don't separate myself from the people who are in their process on that path, and recognize that the anger and indignation that comes up for me when I read David's quote, reminds me that there is a boundary there that I crossed and that is being crossed by others unwilling to feel. Through my attempts not to take part in the sufferings of humanity or in my own suffering, I added to it. I hope this makes sense. I'm open to reflection. I feel my own experience offers insight, and I'm aware that I am not yet fully at a place of equanimity around these issues. I actually couldn't agree with Bree more, and I just kind of go, yeah, you know. So forward, that was her response. That was really helpful because it kind of is what we're going to be working with this week. So back to the column, lots of activity in your life. The scales are falling off of your eyes. The interconnectedness of Saul and his righteousness in persecuting Christians and David Wolfe and his righteousness in denying doubt, fear, frustration, anger, depression, and greed into his life. The blindness we each have to our own righteousness. We have an anonymous moment before us. We have to show up and do the work asked of us. Faith, perhaps? Faith is the daring of the soul to see further than it can see, to go further than it can see, which is a quote by William Newton Clark, back to the scales falling from our eyes. There's lots of activity in the planets this week. Venus stops in the heavens, turns and goes direct. At the very culminating degree of the zodiac, 29 Pisces, the profound point of interconnectedness of each of us to the other before a new cycle of creation begins at zero Aries. See the interconnections. Understand the relationships between desire and your life. Sun enters Taurus, taking us deep into spring's depth creation energy, and talks with Chiron and Neptune to point out our wounds in a gentle and kind way. Mercury speaks with a number of planets. Darn, he's busy, busy, busy. Mars joins with Uranus, starting a new two-year journey, taking action around and with creation. Hang on tight. Monday, April 13th, tension will build all week. The moon in Sagittarius asks us to look at the big picture and see the purpose for righteousness. Righteousness exists for a reason. Mercury and Mars talk, or maybe argue, about all kinds of behaviors, motivated by righteousness and how it wounds us. Think how righteousness has caused us as a species to do all manner of interesting twists and turns in our living on planet Earth, or caused us to duck out of situations, or to jump into situations. Chiron and Neptune connect and help the blinders fall off our eyes. What is it you met on your road to Damascus? What do you see that you didn't see before? If you understand the pattern that Saturn is trying to get you to see, it will be so much easier. What is the pattern? Tuesday, the 14th, the tension continues to build as Venus slows to a stop and Mars grows closer and closer to Uranus. The Sun and Mercury stimulate Uranus, so unexpected comments, news, or information can make you go completely nuts and be wildly emotional. The moon in Sagittarius fuels the fires and can cause steamy eruptions that seem to come out of the blue. Watch for things in your blind spot. Dreams can be mighty disturbing. The sun has a working aspect with Chiron, so sit quietly and attempt to make sense of the information you received. The scales fall from your eyes. You can see again. Blink a few times. Wednesday, the 15th. The tension building all week has part one culmination as Mars joins with Uranus. Part two culminates on Friday with the Venus station. Crazed yet clear, Mars in the vastness of an ocean's water joins with Uranus in the same vastness of ocean water to start a new two-year cycle around your creativity, drive, inspiration, and ability to act on it. You will have an opportunity to put your new cycle to work on Friday as Venus stations and says, let's go. Sun has a working vision with Neptune of what he'd like to accomplish over the next 2 years. New cycles like this start us forward to create in a manageable time frame of 2 years. Think about your Aquarius, Aries, and Scorpio ruled houses and how they relate to the changes going on in your life right now. The planets want to ground that energy into a rolling wave of fluid change that sweeps through and washes away everything you don't need anymore. Negative versions of the energy can appear, These are malefic, after all, such as an emotional explosions of fluid energy or attacks in water that are unanticipated, tsunamis, riptides, and such. Be careful around bodies of water, as accidents are likely to happen. Feet are ruled by Pisces, so breaks and foot accidents can happen too. Breaks or explosions of emotions aren't vessels that hold things we find precious and dear. Many artists have strong Pisces, so we may lose some today. On Thursday the 16th, Moon in Capricorn has aspects to Mercury and Saturn, forming a fast-moving grand trine in Earth. Please take time today to focus and ground the energy you've experienced under the Venus retrograde. Make a quick or short checklist of stuff you've realized and figured out so you can go into your meeting with Venus tomorrow as prepared, organized, and planned as possible. Mars is stressed out by the reports that Venus has gotten too fat to fit in the clothes you've bought and borrowed for the fashion shoot tomorrow. Venus has stopped in the sky, so relationships are all crazed, yet full of love and tension. The goddess of love is pivoting on her Manolos and getting ready to move forward. Friday is quite busy with the activity of the other planets as Venus stops dead in the sky and prepares to move forward. Think photo shoot. Venus is the center of attention, stopping and posing, as all the other planets have just to do to make her beautiful and connected. There's a great deal of stress and adjustments needed to get things accomplished today. Pluto realizes the chosen outfit just is not going to fit. Safety pins are not going to cut it either. New way to hold that baby in place. So go naked. Get real. Let your vision of what it is to be create itself before your eyes. Just focus on what is to be. Often the mistakes are the perfect moment. Adjust. Pallas has a big old plan that went all the hell in a handbasket when she tried to implement it. Venus has been eating so much candy on her retrograde journey that nothing fits. Adjust. If it doesn't fit or work or seem to match up, adjust. Change the plan. Do the simple version. Simple is better anyway. Mercury talks to Saturn in an easy-flowing manner, looking to organize or restructure your papers, thoughts, or reality. How the hell did Mercury get all that way into Taurus already? He's way ahead of the other planets separating in the sky. Our winged messenger is focused on creating in solid, final form the details of the plan for the future. Get it written down even if you aren't 100% sure of all the parts. Go for the big picture and outline. You can flesh it out later. Mars supports the dream version as he moves to catch up with Venus next week. Mars pulls Neptune's energy into the mix. Write down the fragments, grab the props, use the stuff at hand, sketch the ideas, envision the ideas. Again, simple is better. Remember, Venus is now able to move forward again. The inherent beauty is found in the simplicity and grace. On Saturn's day, April 18th, happy birthday, Dad. My father turns 80 today. The moon in Sagittarius in Aquarius has no aspects, so it is kind of a quiet day. A hang out and have a good time kind of day, particularly with the groups you like. Venus is getting used to moving forward again and happy in her favorite placement of Pisces. Venus whispers in Sun's ear that maybe he'd like to hang out and have a good time laughing. Process the week's events and plan the time ahead. Venus will now retrace her steps back over the same territory she's been traveling in since the beginning of February. The difference is this time she knows what she wants. She's clear. And that makes all the difference in the world. Remember, you are now planting the next 8 years of your life in your Aries house, as well as in the Libra and Taurus ruled houses. Plant a good crop. And the scales have fallen from your eyes. Can you see clearly now? Like Saul, forward with your new knowledge. Sunday, April 19th, the moon in windy Aquarius helps the sun enter Taurus, marking our entry into the fixed part of spring with blowing winds and gusts of cherry blossoms. Yay! Spring is here. Mercury is talking to Juno, Pluto, and Saturn, making partnerships that can experience stress and strain under this energy. People we've joined up with can have terrific ideas that change the nature of things, or we can have unusual dreams that make us go, upon awakening. Follow up on the ideas, but expect a bit of resistance. I've never done this before. I'm not sure I want to. Maybe you can go first. It's all okay. Like Saul, now renamed Paul, take a deep breath and go off to convert the rest of the world. You survived Venus retrograde. Now that you see the world with brand new eyes, and we are in the sign of Taurus ruled by Venus, forward you go. Besides, Venus is still in Pisces for a few more days, which makes her super sweet, charming, and delightful, even if she's a bit heavier than she was a few months ago. The world is a beautiful place. Now, the mundane section is my favorite, and this is where I comment on the politics of the world. Mundane astrology is the astrology of our living existence. So a few days before or after Pluto stations are when earthquakes happen. Pluto stationed on April 4th, and Italy experienced a major earthquake on April 6th. At 3:32 in the morning, in L'Aquila, I'm not sure I'm saying that right, a city northeast of Rome. Apparently, Giacchino Giuliani, a little-known scientist, forecast the earthquake in the region based on significant spikes in radon gas. Vans with loudspeakers drove around L'Aquila a month ago, telling locals to evacuate. He was reported to the police for spreading alarm and forced to take his findings off the internet. Now there are people who have to apologize to me and who will have what has happened on their conscience, Giuliani said. Guido Bertolaso, the head of Italy's civil protection, insisted, there's no possibility of predicting an earthquake. That is the view of the international scientific community. I'm still waiting for the volcano in Alaska Mount Redoubt to blow her top. Perhaps this week at the Mars Uranus Union? What do you mean we can't predict when earthquakes and volcanoes are going to happen? They just have to study astrology. Another techie astrology voice heard from, I love it when that happens. I have been saying for a while, once Venus goes direct mid-April and Saturn stations at 15 Virgo during the end of April, all of May and most of June, that our economy is going to really, really tank again. Major, major, major collapse, big, bad, and ugly. Dow down to 4,000, maybe lower. Whether the collapse comes from currency issues or hedge funds or banks remains to be seen. I've explained my logic a few times in other issues of the column. So last week, I was reading a newsletter from Dave Ruelle of AstroAmerica.com. Dave took an entirely different approach to get the same result. To quote Dave, in March 2008, Bear Stearns, the famous investment bank, collapsed. Jupiter was direct. It was retrograde from May 8th to September 9th, while it was retrograde, the markets were stable. Less than a week after Jupiter went direct, September 15th, Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy, triggering the current mess. Jupiter rules expansion, and even debilitated in Capricorn, as long as it's moving forward, things should be expanding. It's when Jupiter goes retrograde that air escapes from the balloon. But not this time. Now the markets go down when Jupiter is direct. Jupiter is truth. Does this mean our money has become fake? A direct Jupiter is an honest Jupiter. He cannot inflate a fake. Does this mean a retrograde Jupiter promotes fakes? Does this sound plausible to you? I shout yes, 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 yes. And then, starting about a month ago, suddenly the markets went up, way up. Why was that, I wondered. And then I thought of Venus, ruler of the natural second house, which means ruler of money. She goes retrograde once every 2 years, which she did back on March 7th. And just at that time, the U.S. Treasury came up with some crazy scheme to give money to banks for junk, and stocks soared. So a retrograde Venus, ruler of money, makes fake money. Now we know the world is upside down. Venus goes direct on April 18th. Jupiter goes retrograde on June 16th. Should we expect chaos between those two dates? I shout, yes, 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 as good money drives out the bad. Okay, so Dave got there a whole different way than me, and I love the logic, and it makes total sense. Jupiter forward is truth. Venus retrograde, the market's stable. It's really not supposed to be. So we'll see what happens. We should have the market start to tank end of this week, after the 18th. So next week, rocket down. Mars in Pisces joins with Uranus Pisces on Wednesday, April 15th. Danger from the seas ends or concludes to start a new chapter. So we can expect our pirate adventure with the American captain stepping up to be taken captive so his crew could be free to be resolved by then. And actually, it got resolved today, I guess, after the column was posted. Wednesday we'll be back. Venus will be back in Pisces, so we'll have another selfless hero of the water, like the crew who landed their plane in the Hudson River. The landing took place when Venus was in Pisces before her retrograde journey. Plus, there can be lots of shark attack or weird water stories as Mars makes his union with Pisces, and breaking of or injuries or severing of feet stories. Walk carefully. And actually, this morning at breakfast, I was reading the newspaper, and some lady jumped in the polar bear tank, and the polar bears attacked her. So that's kind of a weird shark attack with a watery thing. You know, it's like water attack. It's just, people, what are you thinking here? I mean, clearly she was crazy. So anyway, on to reader questions. Tanya wrote, I just read your mundane section talking about Saturn and Virgo of special interest to we Virgos. No, yes, it is, Tanya. You're very right. And you wrote that Saturn is in Virgo until 2010. I thought it was leaving our sign in September. Isn't this correct? Also, what's the point of having a Saturn in Virgo? Does it push us to develop to the next level? And what will it mean when Saturn's in Libra? Work seems especially highlighted with Saturn in Virgo, especially since Saturn's in the Taskmaster planet and Virgo's the worker bee sign. How can we use this for good in our lives? Saturn leaves Virgo for a few months in fall to travel in early Libra. Saturn retrogrades back into Virgo in April of 2010 through July of 2010. So Saturn enters Libra on October 29th, and then he retrogrades back into Virgo on April 7th of 2010, and he's in there for a while, and then he enters Libra again on July 21st of 2010, where he travels through until he enters Scorpio in October of 2012. I like to think of Saturn in Virgo as apprenticeship, as well as health habits and daily activities. We perfect our craft, develop our skills, and yes, we work, work, work. Or we look for work, work, work. Virgo often marks times of poverty, as it is the sign of the servant and the person who works hard for their money, not having time to spend it as they are so busy. As Virgo rules Pluto and Capricorn, we'll have economic and unemployment problems through July of 2010, with a brief respite from November through April when Saturn's in Libra. Using Saturn in Virgo productively is very easy, as Saturn loves doing the work of Virgo. Not too much criticism of yourself or others. Get it done. Send it out, even if it isn't perfect. Focus on the process. Make incremental improvements. Don't over-caretake. It can be a bit tougher in the relationship areas, as we all tend to be a little more thin-skinned when Saturn criticizes us in Virgo. Or we become super critical. We tend to discard perfectly good people because they're not our definition of perfect. We tend to point out the flaw in the other guy rather than looking at our stuff. But Virgos like to be alone, so it actually kind of works for them. Discard the flawed person and continue to search for perfect one. Virgos would rather stay home on a Saturday night and list their woes or work on their presentations than risk their hearts. Saturn in Libra will be teaching us how to partner, relate, and connect with others on an equal level. The USA's Saturn's in Libra, exalted, and now progress Saturn is retrograde, so the United States will be having a Saturn return as we work on rebuilding our relationships. We'll each be more focused on what a good relationship looks like and behaves like when Saturn gets into Virgo. And with that, we have come to the end of our hour. And I hope you enjoyed the show and had a great time. And I hope you'll check in again next week. This is Ann Ortley reading my weekly weather on the internet. And it also appears on my site. So take good care and have a fabulous week. And watch out for those scales falling from your eyes. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.